Weekly segment with Baylor Director of Athletics, Mac Rhodes, is brought to you by Edward Jones Investments Brokers, Tom Albers, Brad Wilson, Ben Erlinson, and Cam Heathcott. Edward Jones, making sense of investing.
All right, so Mac Rhodes normally with us on Tuesdays at 4:20. Little did he know that he wanted to be on with us so often, he wants to come on today as well. I bet you did. So I guess the obvious question is, I know you mentioned that you're trying to track all this down. West Virginia's had no players test positive since the game, but it obviously was a trip to Morgantown. Have you singled out yet where all this came from?
No, I mean, there isn't one particular specific incident that that we've been able to narrow it down. And you know, we've been meeting with Dr. Hostler, which you know he had a quote in our statement yesterday. He's been terrific. He's one of the leaders, if not the leader, in this space in the country, particularly working with sports. So I think you know we feel, you know, pretty confident that that we had a false negative, that you know somebody you know was on the plane that that was really, you know, infectious, you know, carrying the disease at some point in time. Maybe they weren't infectious right at that moment, but they became infectious, and then, you know, and who knows, it could have been one, it could have been two. You know, the percentages say that it, you know, was probably, you know, one or two. And we know that, you know, the antigen test, it is not as accurate on the false negative side, you know, as PCR. PCR is the gold standard and remains the gold standard. But you have to use the antigen, you know, on a Friday to get those test results back. And it takes more viral content to yield a positive when you use antigen. So that's what we suspect. And then you start thinking about the trip, right? And you know, the plane ride and any time on the bus, the N95 masks and the goggles were worn, and our student athletes, our staff was really, really compliant. You know, I thought we were really spaced out well on the buses, took more buses than we've ever used. We're really well spaced out on the plane, right? We reduced our travel party significantly from what it's been in the past, you know, where we only have essential staff. So, you know, we think about, you know, Friday night, the team meal, could something have been transmitted at that point in time, even though, you know, kids were wearing, our student athletes and staff were wearing masks, and they were socially distant, and they weren't together for a long period of time. Or, you know, was it the locker room? And we know that, you know, all visiting locker room, football locker rooms are smaller than what the home team gets. And so, you know, it was very cramped quarters, both the locker room was and also the locker room for the staff. So, you know, that's where we've narrowed it down to. We think that's, you know, the likelihood of how this started, unfortunately. And so, as you can imagine, it's discouraging. It's discouraging for our student athletes. It's discouraraging for our staff, because you feel like you're doing everything you can to follow the rules. And we certainly felt like we were going above and beyond. And then for this to happen.
So you've got two more plane trips for sure, and I don't know what you guys do about Oklahoma. I'm assuming that's a plane as well. But is that the kind of the area of focus right now? Is the plane and locker room, how to even get that better?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got to look at that situation. I think do we do our, you know, this is where, you know, where do you draw the line and you start thinking about student athlete experience? Are we going to have our student athletes eat in their room, isolated, right? And without anybody, just their roommate? I mean, do we have to go to that extreme? So we're thinking about all of that. So, you know, again, we'll get through it, and it's discouraging, but we'll get through it. And again, you know, shutting down team practice through through, you know, through Saturday, through the 17th, you know, just, you have to do that, right? It's the only way that you can break the chain of transmission. And, you know, we want to make sure that this is a 1 week, 10 day problem and doesn't become a 3 to 4 week problem.
Mac, just for the sake of shutting down really dumb rumors, has there been any thought in your mind at all about like calling it quits?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Thank you.
I mean, we still have, you know, 7 games to play. You know, we believe we'll play the Oklahoma State game on December 12th and hope that the champ game has to be moved to the 19th because, we're participating in it. So, you know, there's a lot of football out there. We need to regroup, pause. You know, talking to Dr. Hostler, we were very intentional about 9 days. What he has seen in the NFL is when you have some positives and, you know, an uptick in them, you know, they'll test on the third day and there's usually some transmission and some positives. And then on the sixth day is when you get a majority of those positives, right? And by the time you get to the ninth day, you know, you see very little, if any. You really get into that safe zone. And so, you know, when we got our numbers back on that Thursday, the 8th of October from the Wednesday test, and those numbers were elevated, and we had 12 student athletes test positive. We had 3 staff test positive from that Wednesday test, you know. So on the 8th, when we learned those results, right, you know, early afternoon, we sent home everybody immediately. And so we're really starting on October 8th and 9 days from then, when we, you know, everybody residing in place. And so that gets us to the 17th.
I asked Dave Aranda this question, and of course, a lot of people who want to take something and say, this is what I wanted. But I asked this question, and I do think it's got, you know, you saw Clemson and LSU and Oklahoma and other schools that had to deal with this pretty badly during the summer. While you guys did such a great job, it seemed like you kept it from being a part of the program, not completely, but whatsoever. It's almost as if, not that it would have been better, but it's almost as if he had this contract or this spread in the summer, you could have had time to get over it, although that still might have been unsafe for others around the program.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a way to look at it. And I'll say this, and I think it's a fair question. I think it's a fair point and statement, but you know, that's not what happened to us, and so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of energy thinking about it. I'm gonna you know, think about how we move forward in the very best manner. And you know, people have talked about, you know, the herd mentality and intentionally, you know, just everybody getting it. And you know, that's for me, you know, ethically, that's hard to really think about, you know. I don't think that's the right thing for us to
right.
have student athletes or staff intentionally get it, especially a disease that we still don't know a whole lot about. And, you know, and I certainly get that, you know, this particular age group, you know, is less impacted, but, man, I just, none of us can look at, you know, our student athletes in the eyes and say, hey, you know, let's find a way for you guys to get it so we can get this done.
No, what I meant was it unfortunately, had they gotten it, if it would have been during the summer, then you would have been done with it by the fall. You don't want anyone to get it, but in the end, a lot of those schools are not dealing with it now.
Yeah, no, Smoke, I know exactly what you're saying, and so I took it that way, but I wanted to touch on the herd mentality piece because I know that's been some conversation out there. And so I wanted to address that as well. So okay. Now you and I are on the same page.
Mac, how stressful is all the fact that, you know, here we are 6-8 months into this thing and it's still, everything is so unknown. all the time. How much is that just an added stressor on trying to plan things out when you're essentially, even with the knowledge that you do have, you're still at the end of it, it's your best guess?
Yeah, Paul, I'm certain it's stressful and discouraging. But you know, it's become a way of life, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it. It's the unpredictability of it. It's just knowing that you can have a perfect plan and execute it at a high level and still be susceptible to it, that you've got to change plans frequently. This idea of not being in control. I think we're all used to, people in a leadership position, we're all used to having control and just knowing that, that can change and you don't have the control that you would like. And so you got to stay positive. You got to stay flexible, be thoughtful, smart. And so we'll deal with it. And, we're going to release numbers, this evening. And right now, we've got 32 active, student athlete positives. Of the 32, 28 are football. We have 14 staff, positives. Those are all football. And, again, the prudent and the wise thing to do was to suspend, team activity, team practice. We'll do some things this week, right? The student athletes that have tested positive and are in that, 90 day immunity window, we'll do some controlled sessions with them, workouts, keeping them in shape. Those that haven't tested positive, you worry about them becoming deconditioned. And so, we'll do, probably two controlled sessions, small groups. Just being really, really careful.
So 32 student athlete positives, 28 are in football, and then the 14 of those 28 are staff members?
No, that's an additional.
Okay.
14 people. So, and just full transparent, when we release the numbers, you won't see the staff numbers, the staff number included in that. We've never, all of our numbers, we've remained consistent. They have all been student athlete numbers. And so, I'm sharing with you that in addition to the 32 active student athlete positives, we've got 14 staff members as well that have been impacted.
Coaches or athletic administration or both?
Football staff.
Okay.
So, you've got a range of, as you know, there's some administrative positions in football. There's, quality control, there's coaches. So it's a variety.
Mac, is there a way that you guys are being even more due diligent and even more thorough, or are you doing more and being more transparent than anyone else?
Than many, I can tell you that right now for sure.
It seems as if, and I know that others have already dealt with it, like I mentioned before, but are you almost even more, I don't want to use that word, are you even more tougher on this than maybe others are? And that's also one of the reasons you have the flare-up?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think, candidly, I think the way that maybe some people interpret, close contacts throughout the country, I think we're pretty consistent within the Big 12. There may be some variance there. For us, a positive is a positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, once you have a positive, right, we're gonna deal with it, the right way. And, I can't really speak to how others are doing it. We're going to follow, the rule, follow the protocol, in terms of health and safety for our kids. And we're going to do everything we can not to err on that. So,
Mac, this went around, and I really don't want to. I typically don't ask you about like stupid, dumb rumors, but I asked you one earlier, and I'll just get them all out of the way here. But in the scenario that Oklahoma State is unbeaten, which is highly unlikely just given what we've seen this year, and they're going to play in the Big 12 championship game, and the Big 12 championship game has to move, is there any chance that Baylor-Oklahoma State game would not happen?
It's a great question. And, you know, the conversations I've had up to this point in time would be no. The game is to be played. It's an important game for the Big 12. I think it's an important game, you know, to be real honest, transparent for TV, mm-hmm. For revenue. So, you know, and I'm not going to say that, gosh, something, you know, doesn't change given the world we're living in. But you know, all the conversations I've had up to this point in time, that game is scheduled to be played. And the only question mark is, because it's going to be played, will a championship game have to move to the 19th?
Mac, I also know that a part of some of the things that is frustrating are the players who have, student athletes who have not tested positive yet, because of contact tracing, they get quarantined, or they aren't allowed to be a part of the practices or workouts, but you're not having those right now. But over the last 2 or 3 months, is that something that you wish you could get more your hands around? For example, student athletes who have never, ever tested positive for COVID, but miss chunks of practice time, even if they've multiple times tested negative for COVID.
Yeah, that's really hard. I mean, it you know, and I think, don't quote me on this, but we may have one or two that have been in quarantine twice now, right? Because of a close contact and nothing they did wrong. And so that's hard. And, you know, again, the rules are the rules right now. And if you're a close contact, it's a 14-day quarantine. You know, we're hoping that changes. Obviously, that it, you know, the safety is, you know, we're still able to provide a safe environment. But, you know, rationally, right, and I'm not very smart, but, you know, you'd think if somebody that was a close contact and if you were able to test them every day, right, and they're negative, you know, is the reason why they should be in quarantine. And, you know, I think that's the biggest question that everybody is talking about, you know, across the country, not just for athletics, but just, you know, the general population. And, you know, you may see some movement. I don't know that you'll see any movement in that, you know, prior to football season. You potentially could see it impact, you know, impact basketball. And you think about, you know, basketball, smaller rosters, you know, you could wipe out a team pretty quickly. Now, mm-hmm. on the other end of that, right, you can have all of your student athletes become positive and get into the 90-day immunity a lot quicker than football does. So you know, we'll see if that changes. You know, right now we've got 17 football players in close contact, and we have a total of 44 student athletes in close contact. So 17 of those 44 are football.
And that's not to include the 32 student athletes you mentioned who have tested positive.
Yep.
28 of football players.
Yep. Yep.
So, wow.
Good Lord. Yeah.
It's, so yeah. Again, you're, you know, and this is, you know, this is one of the things that you learn as you go through this. Right. And I said it, you know, I inferred it a little bit earlier. You can have a great plan and you could really be diligent. And I think I said it, you know, I think I was on with you all on Friday, and I said it, you know, I was really proud of our student athletes and our staff, and I still am. I mean, I think they've really been diligent. You know, we're asking 18 to 22 year olds to almost be more mature than a lot of adults are, and not be social and to you know, limit your social activity to almost nothing, right? And I think our student athletes and our coaches have done a really, really good job. Coach Aranda has set that tone, and he certainly has held and has kept people accountable. But you can do all of that and almost be perfect and still have an outbreak, and that's what's hard. That's what's hard with COVID. It's that infectious, and you never know.
Max, who's gonna be the publisher for Dave Aranda's book on his first year as a head coach? Because this is a wild ride he's been on, isn't it?
I'm gonna write the foreword.
Yeah, for sure. Man,
yeah,
but it has, and you know, we have to keep the bigger picture, right? You certainly get caught in the day to day moment and some of the punches to the gut, but you know, you have to keep in mind the big picture, and you know, we'll get stronger because of this, right? This forms bonds, and you know, if we handle it the right way, it can be a positive for us, and there's still, you know, 7 games out there, and you know, we have a chance to grow and get better as people, grow and get better as a football program, and that's, you know, that's our mindset, and that's where we're gonna head.
Mac, thank you for your transparency, your time, and good luck getting your arms around all this. I know that you got those people on campus trying to help you out as well with Dr. Hostler, and good luck with that. Thanks for your time.
Well, it's been a great team, and I appreciate you guys. Talk
Thank
to you.
You
soon.
Bye-bye. That's Mac Rhodes. All right. So.